Well, our children this year, rather than performing for us, wanted to lead us in worship. I think they did a pretty good job, don't you? Let's give them a hand. Don't have a place here to put this, so I'm going to have to hold it here. How many of you have noticed that Christmas has become very, very important to America? Whether you're a Christian or not, Christmas is a huge, huge deal. Everywhere, our cities, like here's out at a shopping mall. How many of you know that shopping malls without Christmas would be in some big trouble, wouldn't they? They're counting on Christmas to make it. Cities, we're promoting Christmas because it is of a great economic advantage for us. Lots of good things come from Christmas, but how many of you know everywhere you go, and it seems like further and further away from Christmas it starts, but everywhere we go, we see Christmas being promoted. And it is a big deal. And the promotion of it, how many of you are old enough to remember a time when Christmas was not promoted quite as much as it is today? Some of you raising your hand right there, and probably some of the rest of you can remember that. But Christmas has become more and more and more as time goes by about events that are happening around us and about things that we engage in. I just gave you some pictures of some Christmas trees that cities and shopping malls have put up. Here's some in the home. And, they look good, don't they? But the thing I notice about these Christmas trees when I look at them is that you can be very creative and you can make them stand out, but it gets hard to see the tree, doesn't it? It's easy to look at all the ornaments and all the decorations and all the things that go around it, but this is how God made it. And this is how God decorated his tree. And it's pretty awesome too, don't you think? It may have a little more glitz, but you can take that tree and you can chop it down and you can decorate it and you can put it in the White House. And I don't know which one you like better, but sometimes I think the simplicity of what God is doing is actually more beautiful. And we don't want to miss the beauty of what God is doing and what God is saying. Because we fill it up with so much of what we're doing and what we're thinking that we miss that picture a little bit. I like this little picture here, these trees being decorated, but I can't help notice where the concentration for the kids is. And I don't know about you, but I remember those times when we would sit around the Christmas tree with all the presents there on Christmas morning, getting ready to unwrap the presents. But we would have to read the Christmas story first. And I know that sounds bad, but how many of you remember a time sitting as a child, and every family didn't do that, but how many of you remember sitting at a time wanting to get the presents opened, but we sit and listen to the Christmas story? And it's not that the Christmas story doesn't have meaning, but the truth is, we're not listening to it. And, you know, that is true about life. It's the reason that Christ came the way he did. He didn't come with pomp and circumstances. He didn't come as a shattering, world-shaking statement. It's one of the reasons he didn't come as a man ready to bring the judgment of God, or even announcing the truth of God. But he came in the most vulnerable, quiet, unexpected, and unheralded way. Now, God did speak, and he did herald the entrance of Christ into the world. But it's interesting that he spoke in a quiet way, off away from the city, so that if you were engaged with everyday activities and you were at home getting ready for bed, you might have missed it. But he spoke and he told those angels. He put that star in the sky and those wise men, they followed. But even the shepherds, had to leave what they were doing and leave their flocks. And they had to go if they wanted to see the beauty of Christ. And some people have to go a short distance, and some people have to leave a foreign country. But God is always speaking. But we're not always listening. And the fact is that God speaks in a still, small voice. And he tugs at our hearts. And if our lives are too busy, or if they're too focused on other things, or if we have got so much moving and so many needs pulling us in this direction and so many demands taking our attention over here, and we are so pressured to work in this physical life and to make all of the things happen that we feel are necessary for us and everyone around us to find true happiness, we can miss it, can't we? Because God is speaking, but he is not shouting. And the message of Christ is a simple one. We have nothing to fear. God made sure he came into this world in a way that said, even though I am the ruler of the universe and I demand allegiance and I demand that you live in a way that is filled with love for me and for others, and that you don't abuse and use and manipulate others, that you don't focus your life on yourself, but you focus your life on me and living the way that I want you to, so that this world can be the paradise, the Eden that I created it to be. And even though you haven't followed me, and you haven't listened to me, and your life has been a rush, and you have pushed me out of the way to get all the things that you need on that tree and under that tree, I'm still speaking. I still want your attention. Please stop and listen. No, I didn't mean her. But isn't that exactly how life goes? And you don't have to worry about it. She's not bothering me. But isn't that how life goes? And even at this moment, is it not true that that voice is not the only thing that's competing for God's voice in your life? And Arthur may take his child out. But how many of you know that the screaming in your head is not going to stop? It's the truth, isn't it? And all throughout life, there's always a baby crying. There's always a bill on the table. There's always a job that needs to be done. There's always someone who needs your attention, who wants your listening ear, who needs your comfort. There's a million things that you could invest your life in. And even as you sit here in this service and God speaks, how many of you sometimes have a hard time focusing past those things to hear what he's saying in your heart? But we have to stop, and we have to listen, and we have to leave those things behind, and we have to consciously connect with God if we want to hear him. He is always speaking, and he wants us. But our hearts have to look to him. And we have to be dependent upon him. It's interesting that Christ came on this earth to save us. And when we see his great love, and how many of you know you can't see how great God's love is if you don't stop and think about it? You can't catch it here in passing and go by. How many of you sometimes say, you know what, I've got kids that don't realize how much I love them. They got so many activities going, they can't see what I'm doing for them. They can't see what I'm giving them. They can't see how much my life is focused around them. They have no idea how much I'm praying for them. Because life is busy. Well, our lives are like that too. And God is speaking, and he wants us to realize how much we love, how much he loves us. And when we see that God would leave everything and he would come down to earth and he would experience life as ours when he could experience life as his. And not only that, but he endures a relationship with us in order to expose the fact that people at that time did not want a relationship with him if it did not fit in with what they wanted in life. And as soon as they found out that he was not going to come and destroy the Romans and destroy his enemies and move all the obstacles out of their way and make their lives good and easy and successful, as soon as they realized that he wanted them to sacrifice and to love and trust him that God would return that love and goodness and make their lives good, but not have that up front, how many of you know what they did? They crucified him on a cross. And he could have called down, the Bible says, 10,000s of angels and destroyed them and wiped them out for that sin. And how many of you would agree? Crucifying Christ on the cross was a great sin. And yet he endured that. All for the moment on the cross where he could look down and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. If they knew what they really needed, if they knew that they needed you, they would not do this, but they are blinded by their own self-centered greed, their own self-centered desires. And many people's hearts were touched, and they saw in Christ's love and sacrifice the truth of God's love, and they stopped, and they thought about it, and they let it soak in. And as they realized how much God loved them, all of a sudden, for some reason, God birthed a response of love in them. And they gave their hearts and lives to the one that loved them more than anyone else. And we're not saved because we give our hearts to Christ. We're saved by faith alone. Do you know what faith is? What faith literally is? It literally means to cling to. In other words, I don't produce faith in myself. When I see the love of God and I turn my attention on him, he gives me faith. I see that love and something wells up inside of me that says, I don't care what happens, I am not going to let go of Christ. I am not going to let go of God. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if I understand everything. I don't even know if I understand God, but I know this, something in my heart, I have heard him say, I love you, I want you, and I will not let go of God. That's all faith is. And a child can understand it. Sometimes I'm not sure they understand it any less than we do. But that gift that God gives us when we stop and we listen to him, and we look at him and we seek him, he gives us the gift of faith. And we grab a hold of him not because of who we are, but because what he puts inside of us. Because we see his sacrifice for us in Christ. And for some reason that we cannot understand it, our hearts are changed and we are born anew. And no longer does everything in the world hold more value than God. But now, our Creator, our Savior, our Provider, the one who loves and cares for us more than anyone else in the universe, holds our attention. And we love and give ourselves to him. And he brings us into his family. And it is a family of love. And it begins with his love. And that's what Christmas is really all about. And sometimes it's difficult to not sit and to meditate and to think about and to let the real meaning of who God is and what he has done for us in Christ capture our hearts and our minds. But isn't that what God would want for us in this Christmas time? It's a wonderful thing that I am loved by people that want to give me gifts. Mom, I love your gifts and I'm grateful for them. And it's a wonderful thing to know that people love us and want to give us gifts, isn't it? There is nothing wrong with that whatsoever. I'm glad that we have Christmas time, but I don't want to miss Christ in Christmas, do you? Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for you. And we don't understand why you would care about us. What is man that you would be mindful of us? Why would you think about us? And yet, for some reason, your heart is big enough that you care about every one of us. And you speak to our hearts. And Father, right now, I just pray that we will be still. And we will feel you tugging at our hearts, speaking to us, and revealing to us in a supernatural way that we can't understand that you are here. We can't touch you. We can't physically hear you. But spiritually, Lord, in our hearts, we ask you to let us see you as you really are, in your great love and care for us. Help us understand the great sacrifice and gift, Christ coming to this earth, living and dying for us, really is. Father, we ask you to forgive us for letting our minds be occupied with so many things besides the most important, worshiping and thanking you for our lives. And right now, we just ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, we just ask you to take our hearts and lives, bring us into your family, bring your Holy Spirit into our hearts. And we ask you in Christ's name, and because of our faith in his great love demonstrated by coming to this earth, living on this earth, dying, and then being risen from that grave, we ask you to save us. And we thank you, Lord, for who you are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.